Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, I don't think Alabama's
out of the woods yet when it comes to another loss potentially.
No.
Down the road. I don't think they're out of the woods. I mean,
I will say, though, now of their – let's see. They've got – so they have
– Tennessee.
They have to go – they have Tennessee at home.
At home. LSU at home, I think, too.
Correct. They have to go to South Carolina.
They go to Auburn, right?
To Auburn.
Yep.
And then they get Oklahoma at home. So it's like.
Yeah. The three toughest ones are the home games.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they've been really good at home under DeBoer.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of think, if you're making me guess, do they go 11-1 or do they go 10-2?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying they go 10-2. I think what would be interesting, though, is, what if I say they're going 11-1 or 9-3? What are you picking?
I'm picking 11-1.
I think so too. Because it's like I can see them. I can talk myself into a loss.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of the other issue. And it's like you don't obviously root for this. But what I do think we're seeing throughout college football is nobody has the depth except for maybe Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It does seem like every time I watch them on defense, they're trotting in some guy. We're like, who the hell is that?
It's different at Ohio State. Correct. It's different over there. Depth is a big issue for a lot of teams.
If Proctor goes down, I mean, to George's point, the one result that makes the least sense so far is what happened to them in Tallahassee.
Yeah, the first week of the season.
What's Jam Miller's status?
Mm-hmm.
Now that Jam's back, like, they're running the football, but didn't he get hurt on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I didn't love the backup running backs that I saw.
Not used to saying that about Bama, huh?
I mean, I guess the one encouraging thing I would say is, like, they're doing all this, and Ryan Williams has been kind of like,
he hasn't brought
whatever.
The show, yeah. Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, I think that's kind of in general in the SEC where it's like, I think there's only
one. It's supposed to be a stacked quarterback group this year, and then now look at it.
Well, are the best two quarterbacks in the SEC Ty Simpson and Trinidad Chambliss?
And then it's like, these guys were at the bottom. We hyped them.
Hold on. Am I missing someone obvious? All right, hold up.
You think?
No.
But he got exposed.
No.
Oh, no. I'm just going through
that. No. I'm saying, okay.
Because it's not my tier.
Okay. I still am holding out that I think Nuss is hurt, but also, Nuss, you might be hurt. Nah. That still doesn't mean you have to throw it in triple coverage.
His decision-making is hurt.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
He's still got a brain.
There are safeties there.
Yeah.
Like, watch them. They will tell you where to not throw the ball.
Yeah.
Just because your back hurts
correct.
Doesn't mean you need to throw it right at another
correct.
Guy.
I mean, whew. For a fifth-year guy, he has some wild ones.
All right, right now, would y'all take – let's do it this way.
Okay.
Would you take Ty Simpson, generic team?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, Ty Simpson or Lenore Sellers?
Ty.
I'm going Ty.
I think you have to say like, the point
I want to say Lenore's because, you know.
But, like, Ty's not a bad enough athlete that you sit there and go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
The difference in passing is night and day.
Yeah.
And then he's still, athletic enough. Like, he's extended a lot of drives by getting tough first downs and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I'm still going there.
There, I'm Ty.
Yep. All right. Ty or Mateer? And I mean, you have to say Mateer's got the hand.
I just wish he didn't have the
I was going to say Ty with or without the busted
hand.
But
I mean, like, right now.
Right now? Ty.
Oh, Ty.
Easy.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Ty or... I mean, we're saying definitely over Arch. The only other one, honestly, that I would say that I'm open to the idea, but like everyone's going to laugh you out of the room, but it's like, I still believe in Taylen Green. I think the guy's a good player. I don't think they're very good.
I mean,
I think he's good.
He didn't play bad.
No. That cast is not great. There's not a lot of support there.
He's, he's good. But I mean, do we really care that he's good? At
this?
Because you know,
I mean, like, okay, am I missing? Because I'm not putting Lagway, not putting Arch.
That's the preseason hype train.
Right?
That's the other preseason
not
hype
putting
train.
Us.
No.
Diego?
Yeah.
But, like, I think you have to, like, if I'm saying generic team, like, you have to kind of build the team around Diego in that kind of style of it's not really the option, but it is.
Yeah.
Ty's the guy. Which is crazy to think after, you know, the first week of the season.
That's my biggest observation. I think the one result that makes the least sense, and like you can apply some context and whatnot, but it's like, how did they get run out of the building there?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of here's the example that I've used. You know how many times we talk about certain coaches when the beginning of the game they run, you know, their scripted plays and they come out looking really good.
Cough, Missouri.
I was going to say it was Missouri.
We just pulled that.
The first drive
Missouri,
in Missouri.
When scripted plays.
Bo looked phenomenal.
But when it's game time and adjustments are made, it's like, where do we go from here?
I think it was three straight three and outs for the Tigers.
Florida State ran its scripted plays against Alabama. And now, where are we?
My thing is, but did they? For most of that game, though, a lot of what they were able to do was having Tommy Castellanos just all over the place. Now, is that their script?
Is Gus having an entire summer to prepare for one game.
That is true.
That's the script. Like, having the entire summer to prepare for a game, more or less. Like, if Alabama plays Florida State right now and they have a better idea of how they're using Tommy Castellanos, like, it's not even close. So they had that advantage of, we don't know what to expect with this new quarterback with a completely new look roster from a team that was terrible that people expect to be much better. And then you're playing against Alabama.
Like, well, and also Florida State.
There's
clearly
a get up factor.
Like, Florida State clearly like has this issue of they can get up for the big team, but.
Yeah, because they didn't play bad against Miami.
No. Like, I thought Castellanos played bad.
Yeah.
yeah, he was not great. My, like, thing that I can't get my
and
head
like,
wrapped
yes,
around.
Like, I'm trying to be fair to Florida State fans. If I would have told you coming into the game Florida State is going to not have their top three receivers, you would sit there and go, this is a toss-up, not a
–
Absolutely. This is, right.
Yeah.
But, like, my thing is the biggest thing that we saw in that game one against Alabama that we were all so impressed by was just the physicality of, like, the front seven for Florida State, the way they were able to really get a bunch of push. But now we've seen in two or three straight games –
like, where is it?
And against subpar opponents, there's just nothing there. Like Virginia and a second time out starter have been able to just carve up.
To me, it's like the defense is the issue. Like they're awful. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll get back into the other big firings. Also, we'll talk some Grizzlies during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
In the best year of his career.
I kind of have this experience more times than not. It's like
when guys
leave
fan.
The Giants, like, it's like, oh,
that's
wait.
That's the other one. That's the NFC
one. They look pretty good. Like,
thanks for Xavier McKinney, by the way.
But, like, well, I mean, the ultimate is Daniel Jones.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets, obviously.
How many Jets?
Listen, bad franchises can, like,
that's
come.
What they do. Like, that's what they do.
Well, we used to, like, that was the other thing. Is like, we used to always be able to, like, well, at least we're not Commanders fans.
And now they're good.
And now they're like well run, and you're just like, well, now what do we have?
This is organizational. This is not a coaching problem. Now, I mean, it's not to excuse it for Callahan, but it's more to like getting back to the point with Vrabel. Like, as you see now, he's in a better situation.
Well, the other thing is like, Was Callahan even a hot name?
No.
No.
Because, like, okay, like, let me get this straight. So you're giving him credit for being, on paper, the offensive coordinator of the Bengals when the head coach is the caller.
Those are the worst hires.
I mean, I guess you could say.
No. Those rarely work.
I think Kevin O'Connell's the only one.
But he was known as a quarterback guy at least.
Right. Like, I guess you could also, he got a gig, but like you could make the argument for Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
But Cohen did get the Bucs gig and call plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he got the Jags gig, but it wasn't like he went straight from McVay's lieutenant.
Yeah.
That
Are we
been...
missing an obvious one?
Nah.
No, but
because Harbaugh wasn't a play caller. John Harbaugh wasn't a play caller and got a head gig. But like I'm trying to think of, has someone been considered one side of the ball, taken over a gig, and been like the second in command?
I mean, maybe it's got to be somebody from the Shanahan tree. That's probably the because Shanahan well.
I mean, I think the
most
only,
of them go on to be like most OCs first.
Exactly.
Well, it's usually like they either wind up being Kyle's second and then going and being
Someone
Sean McVay's second, or then like they get the Texans job. Like Slovic, I think Slovic had not been a play caller and then got the when D'Amico took the Texans job, he brought Slovic. Because I think Slovic was Kyle's number two at that point.
Yeah. No, it's,
but I mean, are we missing an obvious one?
I don't think they're. I mean, it's not a good recipe for success.
Would they call Gruden?
Ooh, probably should have did that.
Was McDaniels a play caller?
No, McDaniels. No, McDaniels is. Was McDaniels with Kyle or is he with
Sean
when he left?
He's from one.
Because they all were. They were all. Yeah. At the Redskins together under Mike.
Yep.
Because I think, and then Sean, when Jay Gruden got the Redskins gig, Sean stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay was originally the play caller, and then Sean stayed. Because, like, that's the other thing. It's like, well, when everyone uses the whole look at all these coaches that they had, it's like, well, they did fire Mike Shanahan, so. They were all leaving. Sean was the one that got to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Sean kind of got fast-tracked.
Because
I believe Kyle got exiled to Cleveland and then got stuck with Manziel.
Yeah.
Then he positioned himself to Atlanta.
That's what he took off.
No. Correct.
Our boy has one. Gabe has one for us.
Who is it?
Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni.
Okay, but I'm saying the key distinction is wasn't a play caller, but then tried to be a play caller. Like, Callahan got play calling taken away from him, but he was trying to call the plays.
And Sirianni's had an OC.
Correct.
Sirianni, every time.
Right.
Between
So he had
Callen.
Steichen.
Yeah.
I think
yep.
Steichen was the first one.
Yep. Yeah.
Then who'd he fire? There was somebody before Kellen fired him.
I thought that was a defensive guy.
Well, I think he let both go. So they get – who was the D.C. when Steichen – they got to the Super Bowl and lost. Steichen was the O.C. And the D.C.
They let both of them go. Man, who was the
– Did they both go? No, they both got hired.
They both got hired. Yeah,
who?
Gannon.
Yes.
Yeah. Who went to Arizona.
They both got hired. And then
he brings in Kellen.
Well, no, there was somebody he brought in – and then he fired him. Then they brought in Kellen. And then they fired the DC and brought in Fangio.
Yep.
And now we're on to some other guy that sounds like he eats Italian sandwiches with Sirianni.
Yeah.
But Sirianni was not considered a scheme guy. Because I think Sirianni was originally with the Chiefs. And then who was there?
Oh, was it Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson got fired. Yep. Yes.
Fired
Was the OC and then the DCs. Oh, where'd he go? I know for sure Desai got straight up demoted.
Right. You're definitely right that Brian Johnson, former Utah legend, was the OC. Because weirdly, like, I want to say he was at State for a while. Because I think he played for Mullen. And I want to say he was, like, Mullen's quarterback coach. And then, like, when they had the whole Arnett thing, they were thinking about going with Brian. And then Brian found himself on the wrong end of somebody's head's got to roll for this.
Yeah.
No, it went straight from Gannon. They hired Desai. And then they go to Fangio.
Right, but I thought they fired Desai or whatever, demoted him, whatever you want to say.
Yes, that's what it was.
And then they got Fangio. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, if you're the Titans, this was also, I think, four straight number one quarterbacks that got their coach fired. I stand by it. I'm not blaming Cam for any of this. I watched them play, and I'm just like, he's got no prayer.
No.
He still does enough where I'm still like, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I was talking about this off air with John earlier, with the other three. The other three were just an absolute disaster when it came to the coaches that they had. And two of them were hired with the number one pick. One was Urban Meyer.
Yep.
The other was Frank Reich.
Yep.
And then Eberflus, who essentially we all kind of looked at least I did, as like, okay, this is your last ditch hope.
Well, that was the thing with Eberflus. It's like when they even tried to present him well on Hard Knocks, you were just like, like they did like the scripted scenes with Saban coaching him.
Yeah. Oh.
And you're just like, man, how much do Bears fans just wish, like, can we just get the other guy to coach the team?
How about the guy sitting next to him? Yeah.
I know he's taking crap for the Cowboys. I still look at the Cowboys' defensive roster. I don't think he's that bad of a defensive coordinator.
No, he was solid with Chicago.
Yeah,
I
don't think he's that bad. Like, I know everyone's going to point to the numbers, but it's like, guys, go look at the Dallas defensive roster. Like,
there's not a lot to work with.
Not
especially
much.
Especially when you're paying guys like Trevon Diggs. And
correct.
That's what you're getting. You're getting the rotation.
Correct. That's the other one. Okay, so then we also had, as we've mentioned, we've had the James Franklin firing.
Yep.
We also... shout out to the dozens of UAB fans. Your long Dilfer nightmare is now officially over.
What a weird hire that was, anyway. Like,
beyond.
I mean,
because you know they also had the guy that is at ULM. Was Vincent, I think, is his name. He was on the staff with the previous staff, and like they wanted to give him the job, and the AD went rogue. And saw Dilfer on ESPN.
Man, look at these Elite 11 highlights.
It does go to show, though, like, how wrong people get it about Deion. And the thought that the only reason why Deion is popular is his name and that he's on TV. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Those are not the same things.
Yeah.
Like, Deion is a self-made brand, and, like, he's, like, I think... Deion sees the whole picture. And so, but it is like, it goes to show, like, that felt like a moment of celebrity coach.
Yeah.
And air quotes celebrity coach.
You saw a couple schools tried it.
Correct.
And, it's only one prime, I guess.
I don't even know what I would do. So Alex Mortensen is the interim. He was Chris Mortensen's son.
Yeah.
I think he was on a Saban staff for a hot second. It's always just weird because I think Alex Mortensen's only a year older than me, high school wise. When you just start to see these guys are getting head jobs now, it's like that's weird. Yeah. That's tough to handle. Anything baseball playoffs you want to discuss before we get to our Grizzlies?
Nah, nothing's really.
Did you make it through all 15 innings on Friday night?
I tried.
I got to the bottom of the third.
I tried.
Did you? I made it. I survived.
I have an excuse. I was on the Eastern time zone.
You want to know my excuse? I got tired of it.
No. I mean, honestly, part of it was like I am low-key pulling for the Mariners, and then we got when the 13th happened, and they had first and second, nobody out, and didn't get a run. I just kind of
does it to you.
Like, I was like, I can't do this. Like, this isn't even like my team, and I can't subject myself to that. All right, let's take a quick break. DeMichael was at practice today for the Grizzlies. We'll get his thoughts on everything that happened down at FedEx Forum. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good.
like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Michael, you were down at FedEx Forum. Grizzlies had practice, and then y'all got in at the end of practice, and it seemed like that there was attention on somebody shooting a basketball.
Yeah, you know who it was. It was Ja Morant. You know, he's the main attraction, even though we've seen 3 preseason games and we have not seen Ja Morant participate in any of those. But, yeah, he seems to be progressing solidly. I think, you know, the main thing everyone wants to know is he's going to be back for the regular season.
Yeah. Which is a week from Wednesday, right?
A week from Wednesday. Okay. So you're,
I had to get my dates right.
Yeah, we're a little more than a week away. I think about 9 days, you know, at this point. I think so. But, and when you know, we talked to Ja recently, and he seems to get the sense. But Eastlow's a little bit different from Taylor Jenkins in terms of he ain't giving you nothing. And
well, they both gave you nothing. They just do it in very – one does it in word salads, and the other does it very abruptly.
Just, And that's Eastlow's. But he's still saying that he's week to week right now, which isn't the greatest thing that you want to hear when the season is – a week away, technically, but I think from Ja's shooting, he's doing the, you know, the off court, like he's doing more than he was last week, and Jaren has been ramping up as well. Like, I think it's more about is Jaren going to be back for opening day than Ja, and Jaren's actually done some stuff in practice, which is
like actual 5-on-5,
like. So was talking to Jock Landale, and he was talking about, you know, I actually asked him about the idea of playing alongside of Jaren.
Yeah.
He was like, we've done it a little bit.
Okay.
And he's like, man, it's such a big load off my shoulders. So, and if you watch Jaren, like, Jaren's done a lot of the, hey, when the team's done practicing, let's close all the doors, let Jaren get his workout in, and he's breaking a big sweat. Like, Jaren is putting some work in. This is a real ramp up for him. I think it's just going to be a checkmark thing of like, all right, he can play. But I don't think it's anything injury-related, you know, more so with him at this point.
Okay, so a couple of questions. Do you get a sense of how big the rotation's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's kind of like some missed opportunities right now.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's where Drew and I were talking about it. It feels like Vince is a little in that category.
Yeah.
Gigi's in that category.
And it's missed opportunities because they're not taking advantage of it from the standpoint of who's going to take that leap when these guys are out. But it's also the idea that this roster has kind of been revamped and built around these two-star players. So when these two-star players aren't playing, it kind of exposes the lack of shot creation that you have from these other guys because you try to do a good job of, hey, let's add these 3-and-D, you know, defensive-minded guys that can play off of Ja and Jaren. So it's a weird roster where, you know, I'm just looking at it on paper and what we know about it. It's like if Ja and Jaren are out there, I mean, obviously the team is better, but I think it's a much higher ceiling from the standpoint of these guys complement them well. But when they're not playing, it's not like you still have a Dez who can go get you 20 and can be a primary ball handler or a Tyus Jones who could step in a pinch for Ja. Like, you're hoping Ty Jerome could be that guy, but the roster makeup is so different now. I don't know if they have the horses to kind of withstand that. Like in the past, like when Ja was out, they could go on a stretch where they go 15-4 without Ja or whatever.
Yeah, I think that to me also is the bigger question about preseason in general because it does feel like, and I don't know maybe if this is a Grizzly specific thing or the NBA is just trying to follow the NFL formula where it feels like people are trying to make a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Out of preseason basketball than historically we ever have.
Yeah.
But, like, the hardest part that I have is, okay, I turn on night one, and yes, there's no Ja or Jaren, but there are at least the guys that you're expecting to see.
Yeah.
And so then you're trying to make that judgment. Well, then night two happens, and it's like, I don't even remember these guys from Summer League.
Yeah.
And so then you're going into, okay, the bigger fundamental question, which is, how much should you be judging these guys?
That's
because without Ja, without Jaren, it's like
this
nothing
the
looks the same.
This is not the role they're going to be playing. Like, even if you look at it the other way, even if GG Jackson would have scored 46 points in the last preseason game, you know, in my mind, I'm saying, hey, that is he going to have that same type of role when those guys are back? So it looks good when they're not playing, and that would be good to see. But it's not going to be the same role. So it's like right now, Isolo has this big plan to kind of create these secondary playmakers, right? Who can be the guy when right now, that's one of my biggest questions with the team because, yes, you got Ja Morant, but at some point teams are going to realize, let's just trap Ja because no one else on the Grizzlies' projected starting lineup has ever averaged more than 3 assists in a game per season. None of them. Jalen Wells, Kazavius Caldwell-Pope, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Even Ty?
No, he did, but projected starters.
Got it. I'm with you.
Yeah, now, and that's another thing, because
even Scotty hasn't even? I guess he's so ball dominant, though, but I mean, that makes sense.
Scotty's done it, but, like, that's another question, because do you
is
put
he the
him
starter?
In the starting lineup?
Because that's a small lineup,
Yeah, it's counterproductive to the whole idea of why we got rid of Desmond Bain if you start Ty Jerome or Scotty.
Yeah.
Like, this whole idea, what you want these bigger defensive-minded wings who complement Ja Morant because it gives you a better ceiling as a team. Like, that's the whole idea. So, man, this roster they're going to have some growing pains. I think people should, you know, just accept that with these wings, there will be growing pains because of what you – Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is playing a role that, even in his own words, he has not played since his first couple years in Detroit. He's in his 13th season. We're talking about a role he hasn't played in over a decade. Jalen Wells is playing a role he's never played in the NBA. Vince Williams has done it before, but Vince Williams hasn't stood out yet. GG Jackson hasn't stood out yet. So it's like there's no definitive, like, that guy is the guy that's going to best complement Ja and Jaren.
Well, it's weird in the sense that, like, let's use KCP as the example.
Right.
And what I'm trying to separate is, how much of, like, I feel like what I've seen from the preseason I like is just because he's made shots. But it's like, I don't feel like that's what it is. It's like, honestly, the reason why I like it is, like, I think he's longer.
Yeah,
I think he's a better defender.
There's a comfort zone there. Yeah.
And I don't think his struggles in Orlando were some type of indictment on him. I think that that's what happens when you have a team that doesn't have a lead ball handler and guys wind up having to take a lot of tough shots. It's still the biggest question I have with the Rockets.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, who's starting the offense here? Like, I don't think part of y'all's shooting problems were just because there's not enough shooting on the floor. I think it's you didn't have a guy to get the thing set, and it's taking a lot of tough shots. But at the same time, it's like, well, do you still feel good about KCP if he's 17% from three during preseason? It's like, I don't know. I do think he's poised to have a good year.
Yeah. I think he will too. And that's a big point right there, because when you talk about these other guys, that's why the secondary playmaking is so important, because Dez could have a bad shooting night and still get you 6 assists, 5 boards and still look very impactful, you know, on the stat sheet. But, you know, if Jalen Wells shoots 2 of 10 from 3-point range, can he still be that positive player? Same thing with Tavis Caldwell-Pope. But they get out there defensively. Like, those dudes are really – that's one of the things that stood out in the preseason, like, defensively with Contavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Wells, Scottie Pippen Jr., they are going to be better equipped. Now they just need Jaren on the back end.
Well, I was going to say, I do feel better about perimeter defense, but they are still just getting absolutely hammered.
And you play Zion Williamson first game of the season, by the way.
I didn't even think about that.
It could – look, if you don't have Jaren or Zach Edey for arguably when he's healthy – one of the, if not the, like, I think Zion at his best is Zion Giannis when it comes to scoring in the paint. Like, he's that dominant. If you don't have Jaren in that rim protection or Zach Edey, it could be food.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, because Harrington had even mentioned this.
Mm-hmm.
Are they so bad on the boards that you – like, a guy that I think nobody was really considering as a big rotation guy. But, like, I think Conchar has to be considered early because he rebounds so well for his position.
People don't love it, but you got to, right?
Well, and also, like, think about it. Well, like, think about it in these terms. Let's go back to some of the actual data that we have on Twelmas as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he would do the Vince experiment for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Gone.
Gone, and then
Conchar definitely was.
He's part of it.
Yeah.
And again, you don't root for it in the sense of, like, you know, this raises your ceiling, but there might be an idea of, like, we got to figure out a way to get through this stretch of basketball without Edey, where we're going to have to figure out a way to rebound and steal. And it's like, I can see where he has a bigger role than we think coming into the season.
Yeah. It's because that's the weakness. I don't see how this team is a good rebounding team in any way without Zach Edey. But what you want to do is you don't want to be 30th. You know, you don't want to be 27th. You want to at least try to get to top 15, 16, somewhere.
Well, without Edey.
Yeah. That's your best bet to me.
Well, I was saying, like, without Edey, is there anyone that would be considered a plus rebounder for his position?
It's weird because the way I look at it is you have, like, different types of pieces. I think Santi is a decent defensive rebounder. He's not a good offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
Jock Landale is not a very good
defensive rebounder, but he is good offensively.
He can get offensive
rebounds. Maybe just because he's there.
Yeah. So you don't have, like, a vacuum cleaner on both ends. You just got guys like, oh, you know, like Santi had a double-double in the last game, but there was a lot of defensive rebounds. Jock Landale had 7 rebounds in the last game. 5 were offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was the same way with Brandon Clark. Like, Brandon Clark, not a great defensive rebounder.
But he is a great offensive rebounder.
He can get on the offensive glass and crash with the best of them. So, they don't have they have a lot of yin, but they don't have the yang to it, like, with these guys. Like, it's incomplete pieces. But, yeah, to your point, it really makes me feel like, look, I know some people are just, like, tired of the John Conchar experiment or whatever, but at the end of the day, you talk about the wings that can rebound. Cedric Cowart, at sometimes when you see him snatch the ball,
yeah,
like, he's grabbing it where the square is. Like, he should be a good rebounder. I don't know how long that'll take with the awareness, speed of the game and all that, but John Conchar, he's already got that.
Well, and then, like, that's the other question is, how much grace are they going to give
Cedric?
Yes, early, because, like, I'm with you. It's like, if this team were not trying to win, I think you just throw him out there and see what you got. Like, you know, 30 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. Can they like afford to do that?
I think it's going to be dependent on his defense. You know,
if
he's good enough on the defensive end to where they can say, you know, because that's how it's been with these other guys. With Vince Williams Jr., he was good enough on the defensive end, and you know, the offense came along or whatever the case may be. With G.G. Jackson, he wasn't playing as much because he wasn't as good on the defensive end, and he eventually, you know, got sent down to the hustle and all of that. So I think if Cedric does what people expect him to do on the defensive end, he competes, he plays well, and he gets defensive rebounds, and the offense will come along. I don't think, you know, his three-point shooting numbers have not been good, but you watch him shoot the basketball, he's very capable. I think he'll be a solid shooter. That's all you ask as a rookie. I'm not going to ask a rookie to do too much.
I guess that's kind of the other thing is, like, you can talk me into a universe where they go, they play like 12 guys, or you can talk me in.
Yeah.
You can talk me into the universe of like, what did we see last year in the games where we had 12 months as the head coach? He's like, if he couldn't trust you, you weren't out there.
Nope. Simple.
And so, like, that's kind of what I'm curious about is now that he's had more time with everyone, is there going to be longer leashes with certain guys, or did he maybe show us like what his coaching style is?
Yeah. And I just got the sense more that was the playoff push and, you know, because it's hard. A lot of coaches at the beginning of the season, they don't shorten it until a little bit later. And then when you factor in the way that this team wants to play, it would be almost reckless to play 8-9 guys and play at the pace that the Grizzlies want to play. They want to be the fastest playing team in the NBA. And if you want to be that in a league where you're not you're Boston, all they're talking about is the track meet they're trying to end. Boston is been a slow team in the past. So, you know, Indiana's going to play fast. There are other teams that are going to play fast as well. If you want to be that team, you got to have the bodies. You can't just say, hey, we're going to play 8-9 guys and because you're going to run them into the ground. And you're going to have another season that, you know, in the second half of the season.
It also feels like that's the delicate balancing act, though.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, if you have a philosophy that you think is going to be better and that we have to play with pace, we have to be one of these top pace teams.
Need more guys.
Right, but like what if that means you're basically playing like four or five guys
that shouldn't be playing.
Correct. Mm. I understand that that's...
Yeah. Then you have to make some system change. Like, I mean,
well,
I
like
think
maybe,
the sense
well,
for them is...
To your point, though, maybe it's a question of what is the goal? Because if the goal is just trying to get to the regular season, like I can understand where it's like, hey man, we're playing probably four extra guys that we would normally play in a playoff series, but like come the playoffs, TV timeouts get longer, there's more stoppages, like there are more built-in breaks than what you would see throughout the regular season, but like we've got to get through that.
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question, but I feel like with this roster, they feel like they can. Like especially with the guards, you know, with Scotty, Ja Morant, Ty Jerome, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that group, they feel like they've put together a good group of guards that can get you through the season plan fast. They have a bunch of wings. Now, the thing about the wings is we don't know who's going to really be really good.
They have a lot of bodies.
They got a bunch of guys. And you just need to throw six guys at the wall. You need three of them to not fall off when you throw them at the wall. You need three names to stick. And I think Jalen Wells is a solid bet to be one of those.
I feel good about two.
Okay.
I feel good about Jalen.
Yep.
I still don't love Jalen as a starter. Like, I think Jalen, if Jalen's a starter, I don't love your team. But if Jalen's like your seventh guy, I do love it. I've still, for this year only, I still feel good about KCP.
I do too.
Like, do I think he's going to be an all NBA guy? No, but it's like, I don't know. But I think he's going to be good this year.
I do too. I think they need him to be that defensive presence that, I mean, we know he's going to shoot the ball. Isolo, one of those things that he's kind of emphasizing a little bit more, you can shoot the mid-range shot. Shoot it. That was That wasn't a Taylor Jenkins thing.
We don't have to touch the paint every time?
No, you can. I mean, have you seen their paint scoring numbers?
It looks like nobody's touching the paint.
It's not a lot of paint scoring. I think they've only passed 40 paint points once in the three preseason games. And two of those games, I don't think they've reached 30.
Maybe that'll help.
This is a team that, in the Taylor Jenkins era, pretty much was scoring 50 points in the paint you know, very routinely. So, but yeah, to your point, I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, solid bet to, you know, have a really good year. But, you know, I like Jalen Wells. I like the fact that they're giving him the opportunity to grow his game. We're going to find out if it works or not.
Yeah.
But they have the understanding that we need someone else to be that guy, because it's not going to take NBA defenses long to say, just trap Ja, make one of those guys get six assists. It's not going to take NBA defenses long to figure that out, because until that happens, Ja's going to – I think his numbers are going to be astronomical.
No, I definitely –
I really do.
I definitely think it doesn't take long for scouting. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. We all love a good diva wide receiver.
Love
but
him.
Sometimes you got to love a good number five receiver, too. So yesterday afternoon, when the Bucks, after Abuka gets hurt and the Bucks are down to, like, receivers five and six playing receiver one and receiver two, Tez Johnson hauls in a bomb. I think it was 40.
Was that the 45-yarder?
Yeah, it was 40. Like, I think it was 46. I think it was a 46-yard touchdown. And obviously, Bucks fans are going nuts for Baker.
Yeah.
MVP chance. Tez, after the game, said he thought the MVP chance were for him until Sterling Shepard said, no, those were for Baker. I love that. That's ready to go. That's it. That receiver can play for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
first for sure. First touchdown, they're obviously giving me MVP chance. God, Baker, this is – God, all my Baker stock. My Baker portfolio just is – my cup runneth over. Mm. All right, DeMichael, I appreciate you hustling in here, my man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good to have you with us. He, of course, is DeMichael Cole. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.